Welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, alongside Chase Carroll. Chase, man, we got a win in the Summer League, the first win. The young guys played really well, beating the Celtics 103-98. Let's just jump right in. What were your takeaways from the Wizards' first Summer League win?
It was night and day compared to game one, in my opinion. We saw what we wanted to see from Bilal Coulibaly. After the first game, I immediately thought he had that NBA athleticism. After game two, nothing has changed my mind on that. He is clearly an NBA caliber athlete. I think he's going to immediately contribute at the NBA level defensively. Just the way he gets around screens, moving around picks, he just moves so well for a kid his age who really just grew into his body. Only 18 years old and grew about half a foot in the last couple of years. I think it's incredible the way he moves, the way he jumps. Clearly in transition, this guy is something to watch. He's a high flyer. He's swatting shots and he's throwing down big dunks. So I'm super excited about what I saw from Bilal Coulibaly tonight. And in my opinion, yet another solid performance from Johnny Davis. That's a string of two in a row after last season. Really, I thought he didn't have a single good Summer League game. So for him to come out here this season and put together two straight, I think, pretty good Summer League games, great defensively, I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing, you know, in a jump from Johnny Davis in year two. I'm not expecting him to take that, you know, starter level leap or anything, but I think he's going to be a contributor, at least defensively, something that we didn't really get to see at the beginning of last season. He didn't look lost here in these first two games. So I'm excited about what I saw from both of those guys.
Yeah, all five of the starters were in double figures. Ryan Rollins had 17, Johnny Davis had 14, Vucevic had 14 and 8, PBJ had 10, Coulibaly had 11 points and 5 rebounds and a pretty nice block. Two games in a row where he's had some impressive blocks, or 8 impressive blocks per game, I should say. I was really pleased with all five of the starters, all five of the young guys that I think we all want to see the most are all the five starters, which is kind of nice because you get to see them play together. And they're kind of, I guess, the young core essentially that we're rooting for here, aside from maybe Denny and Kispert, who obviously aren't playing in the Summer League. So I was really glad to see that Cooks wasn't in the starting lineup, but he wasn't playing at all, obviously, but I was really excited when they moved Baldwin Jr. into that starting lineup just to kind of get a look at all five of the guys at the same time.
I'm intrigued by what your thoughts are real quick. What does that mean for Xavier Cooks? Do you think that means that he's safe? Like they're telling him, okay, we know what you can do. You're safe on the roster. Or do you think that this means something? He might not be on the team moving forward. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that real quick.
I took it as the opposite, actually. I don't think it means that he's safe at all. I kind of think that he's a player that he is what he is. And I'm still not really sure what that is, to be honest, from my own perspective. But it's also not my job to analyze Xavier Cooks in terms of what he's been overseas and what he's been now that he's been in the NBA. I know that he was a very good player in the league that he played for overseas. Obviously, I guess he was an MVP, so he clearly has some type of game at a professional level, but just not the NBA.
I'm with you there. I don't think this means it's safe. I asked that question on Twitter, and I got some mixed results. People think he is safe. I just find that so interesting that they're like, hey, man, how about you hit the street clothes? After he actually played okay in the first game, but
do we know how old he is?
I believe he's 27 years old, so he's not like a young guy by any means. Right. So he's a veteran in terms of age, but in terms of NBA experience, clearly he hasn't had any at a high level. So I found it so interesting that they just completely told him to sit, not even come off the bench. They wanted to see what the other guys could do. So I didn't think that meant he was safe. Sorry that I interrupted you with that question, but I just thought that was so interesting.
Well, quickly, just to touch on that point, I didn't get to give my comments on game one, and I'm not going to deep dive in game one. We'll talk about game two, but I wasn't impressed with Cooks. I know some people were saying that they were impressed with him in game one. I thought that he was fine. He didn't look bad out there necessarily, but it didn't give me any desire for him to keep playing in a Wizards uniform, any capacity going forward. He's a fine player in a sense, but at the same time, there's just nothing exciting about his game. There's no flashes of, oh, wow, okay, he can do this, he can do that. It's just basic, oh, he got a rebound, or he's hustling, or it's just kind of generic things that don't move me. Nothing against him, but I would much rather give that spot on the roster to a more seasoned vet, even, or a young guy you're taking a flyer on. Pretty much any other player, to be honest. I know that sounds really mean. I don't mean
he's just right in that sweet spot of like, okay, he's not like a veteran that's been in the NBA for a long time, but he's right. also not like a young guy that you can build around. He's just, unfortunately to me, he's like a undersized rim running five that can't really stretch out and shoot, and he can't really like defend at a high level for the five spot that you would probably be playing him in. So it's like, what, like you're fine. And he's clearly an energy guy, and he went in there and got a bunch of offensive boards in the first game, but it's like, what do you add that, for example, Patrick Baldwin Jr., we finally got to see him in the starting lineup tonight, which I was super excited about, as I cut you off talking about, sorry. But yeah, I was really excited to see Patrick Baldwin Jr. in there for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just jump to the positive. I don't want to get into a roasting of Xavier Cooks, because I'm sure he's a good guy, and I don't mean it to be in a mean way. But let's talk about the positives here. I felt like I was really happy to see Baldwin Jr. in that starting lineup. He shot the ball really well in the first game, so I was excited to see what he could do. But all in all, I was really impressed with pretty much everybody. And when I say really impressed, I mean in comparison to the first game. I don't think that generally it was an overly impressive performance. I think it was a good performance for everybody. All the young guys played pretty well, but I don't want to exaggerate and say it was the best thing I've ever seen, but I thought it was an encouraging performance, especially in comparison to game one. I felt like all the young guys showed the flashes of intrigue that you want to see. I think Bilal showed that defensive versatility. That's obviously the end of the court where he seems to be more comfortable. Offense definitely has some work, some polish. He has to get used to his body. You can tell that he's still adjusting to his growing frame and his very long arms, and he's very athletic. But it was nice to see him finish at the rim a few times, knock that jumper down towards the end of the game. He to me doesn't struggle with confidence, which is something I just like, that he's at least not shy. He's not shying away from contact, or he's not shying away from taking the shots, even if he's not making them at the moment. I mean, the guy's 18, so he's literally a teenager, a really young teenager in terms of NBA, that's out there playing with guys who are a lot bigger and stronger than him. I assume he's pretty strong, but he has a thin frame, so I would imagine that some of the guys are pretty stronger than him. So I was really encouraged by him. My guy, Vuk, he showed – I really wasn't impressed with game one. I was a little disappointed, but I know that that these guys have to get, acclimated to playing, and you're not used to your teammates yet in a game setting, so it takes some acclimating. But I really thought he showed some flashes on both ends of the court. He obviously can shoot. He can finish. He showed a little athleticism. So, and I'd be remiss not to mention Johnny Davis. Johnny Davis is playing with a lot more confidence, and that was the number one thing for me with him, more so than even getting to the rim, which is one of the things I talked about, getting around his defender. That's my second most important thing that I still worry a little bit about with him, obviously. But that confidence, he was just shooting the ball with confidence. He's playing with the good tenacity on defense, a lot of effort, and I can see how he could be a role player in the NBA, and before I didn't see that. So I think just seeing those flashes, now that's not a high bar, but compared to last year when you just didn't see anything, to see the confidence, to see a little flash of, oh, okay, there he goes finishing at the rim, okay, there he goes making a three, shooting with confidence, even when he misses the three, shooting with confidence, that was really nice to see from Johnny Davis. And lastly, I'll mention Ryan Rollins. I felt like he had a nice bounce back game after a game where he was struggling a little bit in game one. Dished the ball, and I think he had nine assists. So he was out there dishing a little bit, scoring. I thought he had one of the more impressive games as well.
Yeah, and he also had five steals. He showed up defensively, whereas last night he really struggled on the defensive end, but he picked it up on that end tonight. I was really happy to see that. But yeah, going back to Johnny Davis again, I mentioned this on Twitter earlier today, and it got a little bit of, I think a lot of people were agreeing with me on this. Really, I think if we just throw away where he was drafted, 10 overall, obviously he likely will never live up to that pick. And that's on Tommy. Tommy's out of the building now, and we've got new young guys in the building to build around. If we just forget about where Johnny Davis was drafted, I know that's hard to do, but if we can just throw out the fact that he was a 10 overall pick and just try to put him in a role here in DC, to me, I think there's a long-term role for him being a solid backup shooting guard, playing really solid defense. We saw it tonight. He was in the passing lanes. He was really strong on ball defender. And he showed now a little bit of offense in two straight games, which is just gravy on top for me. But I'm loving the defense I'm seeing out of Johnny Davis. And as you just mentioned, I didn't see a role for him last year either. It looked like, even in the beginning of the season, he was kind of struggling in the G League. So I was like, is he ever going to even take that next step? But that just goes to show, let's not give up on our young guys immediately. Let's give them a little bit of time before we shut the door on them. Johnny Davis showed a lot here in the first two summer league games, a lot that we did not see last year. And as you've mentioned, he's showing that confidence. So I'm super excited about that. And back to Vuk as well. I really loved what I saw from Vukovic tonight. The way he moves in transition is just so impressive for a big man. He's got such great footwork, and the passing ability as well from him is really impressive. But we kind of knew heading in that he was a shooter, and he hasn't even really shot the ball too well in these first two summer leagues. So it's actually been kind of encouraging to see him be able to do other things on the court other than that. Moved so quickly in transition. He had a couple nice Euro steps around guards in transition that I know like a lot of big men would have just gotten stripped there. And he has the wherewithal to do a nice little Euro step and throw the ball down. So I was really encouraged by what I saw from him. I would, two games in, I'm encouraged enough to say, let's go ahead and buy him out of his EuroLeague contract. I think he's ready to play some NBA minutes. We're not really in win now mode. Like, I don't think we're bottoming out or anything, but I think there's plenty of time for him on the roster here behind Daniel Gafford. Besides him, they got Mike Muscala right now. And are you going to have Mike Muscala blocking off minutes for a guy like this? I think they're kind of similar players in the fact that they can, spread the ball around, spread the floor a little bit. But Vukovic is 20 years old. Let's see what he's got. I'm ready to throw him in the lineup right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and at a minimum, I'd like to see him spend time with both the big team and the go-go. So I feel like that plan of even kind of what they did with Johnny Davis a bit, where it was, obviously Johnny Davis wasn't in the rotation, and I would hope that Vuk would be more in the rotation than Johnny Davis was, but to be honest, I doubt they're going to play him a ton of minutes, at least early on in the season. Even if he was on the big squad, they probably would lean more on Gafford. And I guess if the veteran is Muscala, whatever veteran big we have. So in this case, it would be Mike Muscala if he's still on the team. But I do think that having him in the program and not overseas would be really beneficial to everybody. And I think those reps against G League competition and NBA competition would really serve him well as he acclimates to the more NBA style of game and get used to pick and roll coverages and all the stuff. The expectations are a little bit different. So I want to see him improve as a member of the go-go and not overseas, but I'm sure whatever plan they have is going to be well thought out and intentional, even if it is him not coming over this year. But I do want to see him play, because you see these flashes and you're like, yeah, this could be a second round steal for sure if he continues to reach his potential and continues to get better. You definitely can see those flashes. But speaking of flashes, I mean, I think Baldwin Jr. has showed flashes of a guy that we would like to see in the rotation potentially too. And I don't want to overreact to summer league. I feel like when a lot of people react and say, oh, all these players deserve rotation minutes, and they're not all going to get rotation minutes. So you have to kind of be realistic. But on a team like the Wizards, that you're trying to find young talent, you know, Patrick Baldwin is the perfect kind of guy to take a flyer on, which they obviously have done. But he's the type of guy that it's like, if you're going to give these backup minutes to Gallinari or some other veteran, honestly, he's shown enough to me where I'm kind of like, let's just throw him into the fire and let's see what he can do with 15, 17, you know, 20 minutes a night as a backup four. And let's just see what he can do. At a minimum, he's going to space the floor because he can shoot. And he's shown I'm not saying he's an outstanding defender. And again, it's the summer league, but he's actually shown some competitiveness on that side too. So again, against NBA competition, he might be terrible for all I know, but I don't think it would be for a lack of effort. So I would like to see him get minutes. I've liked what I've seen so far. So, well, what are your early thoughts on Baldwin Jr.?
I've really liked what I've seen, especially on the offensive end. He started the game off with a deep three, like deep NBA range three, where he started with a great defensive play and he took the ball off the rim and pulled up from deep and hit it. Like, that's range that I'm looking for. I keep mentioning in all of these podcasts how we haven't had NBA level shooting. We've pretty much only had it from Corey Kispert and Kristaps Porzingis last season as plus 3-point shooters. So I'm wanting every plus 3-point shooter I can get on this roster. Whether he's going to be playing a lot immediately, I don't know, but he's been showing me quite a bit offensively that I guess we should have come to expect it given how great of a high school prospect he was, but having such an injured college season and not really getting to show much last year for the Warriors, it's really nice to see him coming out in summer league and just really performing at a high level. Like, I'm really excited what I'm seeing from him offensively. He only took 6 shots tonight, so I mean, there were a lot of shots to go around for everybody. So hopefully we can get to see a little bit more of that from him moving forward. But you know, hitting 50% of your shots tonight, 2 for 4 from three, like, he definitely can space the floor. We can definitely tell that already, that he's going to be a pretty solid stretch four, hopefully, for us moving forward.
Yeah, Winger and Dawkins did a great job getting Baldwin Jr. and Ryan Rollins included in that as an extension of the Beal return. And I know that Baldwin came as a result of the 57th pick, but it was all kind of tied into that Beal trade as a whole. So I feel like getting Poole was obviously a great get, but also getting those two guys in addition to the other assets, I really feel like was great work. And they might not turn out to be long for the Wizards. Like, who knows? But I feel like this is the type of these are the type of moves and young players that you want on the summer league team. This is so much better than watching last year's team where there's one prospect and that's Johnny Davis and the rest of the team is a bunch of guys that you know aren't going to be in the league. I feel like people don't want to get excited about these guys sometimes. There's the pessimists out there, and I get that, and I think it's also just being realistic that not all these young guys are going to be great players or and all that, but these are the type of players you want on the summer league roster, guys that you want to have at least a few guys that have a real chance to be, you know, contributors down the line, instead of these guys that you just know aren't going to be contributors. So I just feel like from that standpoint, I'm really happy to, instead of getting some late second round player that we're not familiar with, or maybe that doesn't have high upside, it's really nice to get Baldwin Jr., who may not have superstar upside or anything like that. But hey, if everything broke right, I don't think it's far-fetched to say, hey, this guy could be a starter down the road or a seventh man down the road. Someone that can help help the team out. So I just think from that standpoint, they deserve a pat on the back and kudos for just getting some more young guys in the talent pool here for the team to evaluate. So I think that part of it is really exciting. I feel like we have to touch more on Bilal, though. Obviously, he's kind of the biggest deal on this team. As of right now, in terms of our the Wizards long term, he's the front office is obviously their first pick of the new regime. So what are your thoughts about Bilal? I know he popped athletically, he's shown a lot on defense. We have mentioned that already, but what else stood out to you about his performance in game two?
Well, I guess I'll just keep harping on the athleticism because it's just, to me, it's so elite. Like, yeah. I knew that he was an athlete when he was drafted, but I don't think I really knew how athletic he's been until I've seen him these first two games right in front of my eyes. Like, these are the first times I'm seeing him live playing, and you're seeing it live on court. This guy can just fly. Like I did not expect an 18-year-old like this to, like, for example, last game, glassing a shot at the top of the square of the backboard. Like, this dude's got hops for days. When Dawkins said he was 99th percentile athlete, I guess sometimes you might think, okay, that's just GM talk, like he's just talking, but I think we're seeing the 99th percentile athlete right in front of our eyes right now. The way that he moves in transition, I'm super excited. I hope Wes Unseld Jr. lets these kids run this year, because if he doesn't, he's just wasting a lot of potential with these guys. Like, I'm just imagining Jordan Poole, Bilal Coulibaly, Kuzma just running in transition this season and making things happen. Like, if Wes Unseld Jr. limits what he does from that aspect, I will be very disappointed, because it's clear. Obviously, he's got a lot of work to do in the half court. He's got a little bit of game there, like a little bit of handle, a little bit of he can backdoor cut pretty well, but the shooting's not there yet. The finishing isn't exactly there yet in the half court game, but what he can do is absolutely run the court and fly. So what I want to see from him moving forward is just continue to do that, push it in transition. If you have the ability to, he got a couple and ones there in transition where he was actually the ball handler pushing it himself. And then a couple times just running the floor in transition, they threw him an outlet for an easy dunk. So that's what I want to see from him. Just continue to push in transition, because that athleticism is able to shine when he does.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he needs to be out in the open court. And I feel like that's where he's going to make his mark early on in the NBA. It's just in transition. I feel like the shot was maybe a little bit, it needs a little bit more work than maybe I even realize. And I don't even mean to jump at it from a critical standpoint, but I feel like that was something that watching both games that stuck out to me that, and I mentioned that on our pod after the Wizards drafted him, that was one of the clear things that it was obvious that he was going to need to work on was his shot. But again, you know, seeing these players live for the first time, when you watch film, it's different. When you watch them live in the flow of a game, it stands out more, the things that they need to work on. That's something that I was like, yeah, okay, that's definitely an area that he needs to make some progress in. But obviously he's 18, so there's every area is an area he's going to need to make progress in. But shot is definitely one of the major ones. But what I think that was most encouraging to me about him was he's very raw, but he's not raw in the sense of he's lost. And it's, I feel like sometimes these guys that are very raw, they look lost in addition to being raw. So their skill set is raw, but they also just look lost and almost like a deer in headlights. And
like Johnny Davis last year. Yeah.
Right. So I feel like the fact that he looked like he belongs out there, and you see the flashes, you see the defensive potential, you see the athleticism. And it's really reassuring that this other stuff is going to come along, because the kid isn't lost. There's no lack of confidence, as I mentioned. And it's just, he's young. I mean, you're 18 in a grown man's league. You're going to look raw. I mean, I don't know how you're going to look, you know, unless you're LeBron James or something, you're going to look raw. It honestly made me think back to Giannis at Summer League, and not to even say that Bilal is going to be like Giannis, but in terms of Giannis was a lot of just arms and legs and athleticism. And I remember watching him just fly up and down the court. And the one thing you could see was he wasn't afraid, and he was really athletic, and he was going to play hard on defense. And that was where it started. And everything else was a work in progress, but that was reassuring enough at that point that, okay, Well, he might not be able to shoot yet, but he has all these other raw athleticism, you know, all these other raw tools, and he has athleticism, and he's going to play hard defensively, and he's just going to attack and be relentless. And I feel like Bilal has a little bit of that in him. So that's just exciting to me. It was nice to see him attack, and you mentioned the and-ones, and that was really nice to see him finish through contact. And I feel like there's just a lot to be excited about with him. And while the skill set is very raw, it's not raw in the sense of him looking lost. So I think that that is reassuring to me, and I expected him to look raw. So it's right in line with what I thought would happen. And I feel like kind of, I've noticed that Wizards Twitter as a whole has kind of tempered the expectations in terms of raw production. I don't feel like anyone's really pressing him to say, oh, well, he's not scoring 20 points, or he's not, you know, shooting the lights out. Or I feel like everyone's kind of, hey, like, we know this is a long-term play. We're seeing the flashes. Let's be encouraged. So I really think that we should be. I think that's the kind of the mentality that we all should take.
Yeah, I love the confidence we see from him. Obviously hitting that last shot, which was really the game ceiling shot. And he told Summer League coach Landon Tatum after the game that he was a clutch player. Like, I love hearing that from an 18-year-old who's just getting over into the NBA, that he's willing to take a shot like that. He hit a shot like that, but in his head, he thinks, I'm gonna make the shot and seal this game for us. Like, I love to see that. Obviously, the shooting has a long way to go, but the confidence is there, the athleticism is there, and I think the defense is already there. Like, I think he's going to contribute defensively at an extremely high level this season. So I'm really excited about what we've seen from Bilal two games in, and that is with tempered expectations, knowing that he's still 18 years old. He will most likely improve in all aspects. Like, he's going to get bigger, stronger. He's not that, like, he's still super frail. He's still very skinny, but he's going to put on that weight. He's not even done growing in height, I don't think. So he's going to grow at a great rate. And I'm just excited about what we've seen two games in for him, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any other player that you want to touch on? I feel like we kind of covered it. I guess the only player maybe we haven't done a deep dive in kind of is Ryan Rollins. Do you have any comment on how you feel like he played?
Yeah, I thought he improved a lot upon game one. He had a good first half of game one, but second half was really poor for both he and Quentin Jackson last game. I thought Quentin Jackson had a much better game this game. I'll give him his flowers after I probably kind of crapped on him last pod. So good to see Quentin Jackson maybe help himself in terms of keeping his two-way spot. But Ryan Rollins, I thought, played much better in attacking. I don't think he's a true point guard in a sense, although he did have 9 assists tonight, so maybe that disproves that. But I think he's definitely more of a scorer. Obviously, he was the leading scorer tonight for the Wizards, 17 points. He got to his spots and was attacking the lane at a pretty high rate. Had 6 free throws, and he made all of them. Like, to me, he had a very solid game, but yeah, the 5 steals is what I take away from this game. He had such a poor defensive game last game that to see him come out and get 5 steals, including a couple really clutch ones, good for Ryan Rollins. Like, it's going to take some time with a lot of these guys. Like, we can't see one bad summer league game and say, oh, this guy's not it. Like, understand, this guy's like 20 years old. So he's got a lot of growing to do as well, just as everybody on this roster, aside from maybe Xavier Cooks, who's now sitting the bench. So going back to Xavier Cooks. I was really happy with just about everybody I saw on the court tonight. Like, I everyone who played tonight, I could potentially see in a Wizards uniform at some point, whether it be on a two-way or on the G League team or getting NBA minutes. So I was really excited just about everybody tonight.
Yeah, me too. I feel like that you really summed it up there. I feel like some players play better in more structure, and the summer league isn't always structured well for players that need point guards to set them up. I just noticed that a lot of times in summer league, the guards are just out there kind of just doing random things, and you're kind of like, what is going on? Quentin Jackson was definitely doing that in game one for sure. It was like, what is he doing? He's all over the place. And so it makes it hard on guys like Bilal, who don't have the ball in their hands all the time, to be involved sometimes. And you're like, well, it's been multiple possessions and Bilal hasn't even touched the ball. What's going on? So sometimes I feel like, you know, you look at players and you're wondering why they're not producing. But if they require being set up by a point guard and there's no playmaker on the floor, Ryan Rollins really isn't a point guard. I know he had 9 assists, like you mentioned. I feel like sometimes these players play better in certain structures, and it's not always the summer league. And that's why you'll have guys that go off in summer league and win MVP and they don't have any type of NBA career. And then you have other guys that struggle in the summer league, go on to have, you know, perfectly fine NBA careers, but didn't perform well in that environment. So I feel like you take summer league with a grain of salt. It is fun to watch and it's great. It's great excitement for the fans. So that's really what it's about. I think that the Wizards and their fans should be really encouraged from what we've seen thus far. The next game is on Tuesday against the Spurs. That's a late one at 10:30. I don't know when Wembanyama is going to play. He actually played really well tonight. I was watching that game as well. I think he had 27 points and he shot the three well, and he didn't look that great in game one. So it was nice to kind of see him show why he's been so hyped in game two. I know he had a good performance. And then they play, the Wizards close things out on July 14th, which is Friday, against the Thunder. So what do you want to see out of these next two games? Those will be the last two games before next season. What do you want the Wizards to take away from those two games?
I'd love to see Bilal get more involved offensively, like run some sets through him, let him take the ball up a few times. Like, I still feel like they're kind of hiding him in a corner sometimes, or especially early in the game. I just love to see them get him more involved, other than in transition. Like, let's let him, this is the time to work on this kind of stuff. Like, the wins and losses, yeah, you want to win these games, but they don't really mean that much. Like, you want to get your guys developed here. So to me, I hope that they get him more involved offensively. And I hope Vuk can continue doing what he was doing. He was passing the ball really well as a big man. Like, it seems like they can run an offense relatively through him as well. So I was really excited about what I saw from both the draft picks. Let's continue to get those guys looks. And that's really what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I want to see Bilal have the ball in his hands a little bit more. Definitely don't want to see him standing in the corner, but I just want to see more from the starting lineup. I want to see more from that lineup of Rollins, Koulibaly, Baldwin Jr., Vucevic, and Johnny Davis. I just want to see those five play together and get a lot of minutes, see what they can do. I was really encouraged by what I saw from all five of them tonight. So I just want to see them continue to grow. I want to see more flashes, and I just want to feel excited. And I think that so far we have that. I feel like we have excitement. We have hope. We have a bunch of young guys that that feel like good prospects. So that's really just what I want to see. I felt like they were out there having a lot of fun tonight. And that's another thing. You just want to see these guys play with confidence. And I think when you play with confidence, you're having fun. So that's really what I want to see. Confidence. Let's get the ball in Bilal's hands and let's see what he can do. And let's keep it going. I don't really care about the wins or losses that much. I just don't want them to get blown out. I know in game one, they were getting blown out for at least half the game. And I don't want to see any more blowouts. I want to see something that's competitive, because summer league also summer league can at times be a tough watch. Even though it's absolutely fun, some of the games are like, oh man, like, especially when, like, you know, you're watching a team and one of the high draft picks is sitting out because of an injury, and you're like, now I have to watch these, like, players you're not familiar with or whatever. So I feel like it can be a tough watch sometimes. So I just want to see competitive games, and the team look pretty good.
Absolutely, man. That first half of last game, I wouldn't have blamed anyone if they turned it off. So competitive basketball, get your young guys involved, and as you said, get Bilal some touches, man. That's all I'm looking for these next couple games. Get him some half court run. Let's see what he can do.
Absolutely. Well, Chase, this is a late night podcast. Sorry if I sound a little tired, but thanks for hopping on with me. It's nice to recap the summer league game, and we'll obviously have more coming out with more pods coming as the summer league games come down the pipeline here, and obviously going into the offseason. Chase, you have anything for us before we get out of here?
Yeah, if you're listening, whatever platform you're listening, please go ahead, give us a review. Let us know how we're doing on Twitter. We definitely appreciate everyone who reaches out to us on there. So thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it.